I just need you to be willing to journey into my ill mind.
Oh, man. That gets me too hype when I start playing immediately, when you start talking. I mean, for those of you that are members of the Tribe of Change and listen to the podcast now, you know what I do is I pick a song for the day, I post it, and I tend to play that song all day. It motivates me. I mean, that's the first young conscious rapper I've heard in a long time. He's a young kid named Hobson. But if you really listen to those words, he's beating up on some serious indoctrinations. I mean, he is tapping into a lot of serious, serious issues by saying those words. And he's going to lose probably viewers or fans, et cetera, you know, for speaking what I see is the truth, man, of those real social constructs that affect what we all do every day. People, most of the times we don't even pay attention to what we're living or the ideas we think we have that are our own in life. Now, he'll probably expand on that in a little while. But I mean, we are just beaten down with so many social constructs, and they differ from social norms because they're full constructs that relay deep-rooted ideas and beliefs into people, not just the idea, right? A social norm versus that social construct. So an entire social construct can be placed on, say, fitness. It can be placed on mental health. It can be placed on medical health. That's why you see what I call chemical incarceration happening today, is we put a social norm that taking pills is how you get healthier. And with that social norm, an entire social construct got built, linked to supplements, linked to everything else that just makes it okay to either take the pill to fix it or have a disease. And now our entire medical field is focused around prescribing, around those pills. And you're even seeing fitness now beginning to just circulate around pills, supplements, bullshit science that's selling books, right? It's selling people's products. And that's what they aim to do. And even in mental health, and if it affects our medical world, it affects our fitness world. I'm telling you, from my mental health training standpoint, it is affecting our mental health world, because those constructs that we play and press on our lives about what we're supposed to be, what we should do, or how you're supposed to think. I mean, if you want help for drugs these days, they just give you their drugs. They take you to a place that's not normal like life. They cut you off from all things that's not real and convince you you have a disease and then tell you to take their drugs because their drugs are better, not the ones you're getting on the street. I mean, that social construct all birthed from a social norm that we allowed, that fast pill, that Mr. Fix-It pill. We took that social norm and now we've created a monster called chemical incarceration. That monster has spread across this country. It's killed friends of mine. It's dragging down friends of mine and probably yours too. Maybe you've even been there, involved in one of those. But that's what I mean by how deep social norms can drive a social construct to infect an entire society. Play that on anything, on medical, on your life, on marriage. Play it on the idea of family. Relationships, what you're supposed to travel, right? All the things that you've been sold of what you're supposed to do. Ask yourself for a second, is it really your idea? Or did you take a social norm of a culture that you were born in, apply it as your idea, and then you call it your focus, and you aimlessly wander towards something that's not even your idea? There's somebody else like me in the cognitive rampage that's sniffing out that bullshit in our mental health world and our personal development world that's pointing this out to people, that's doing it. I wish I could just tell you a fitness level, because that's just the cusp. It's fitness, it's physical therapy, it's chiropractic, it's just all of it involved. It's full on biomechanics is how they refer to it. And I mean, this man, he moves me every time he talks. I'm trying to get my words in now because I'm just going to shut up most of the podcast and listen. So, Naudi, man, the fact you're coming back on again, the fact you have continued this mission, have stayed on it and have encroached, I would say, on so many indoctrinations from the beginning, brother. So good to see you again, man. Thanks for coming back on the show.
My pleasure. I was a little late on the things
and to screw up my hearing a little bit, and I think it's getting a little bit better. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be back, man. Hopefully this doesn't end up screwing me up a little bit. It's good to be back. Things have been going great. I'm listening to what you're telling me, man, and I'm loving what I'm seeing, and I completely agree. It appears that people assume that their ideas are their own and that there wasn't, it wasn't fabricated by some marketing genius who managed to plant a seed in their subconscious telling them that they wanted to be married, they wanted to have kids, they wanted a six-pack abs, they wanted a huge pecs. They wanted all these things without really understanding why any of this stuff comes with, man. And really, this is part of the this is the main problem that I have to deal with in the field of fitness. That people have beliefs on what they think they're supposed to be doing with their body. Edward Bernays and pretty much how he fabricated an entire culture of mindless zombies who just bought things for the sake of competing with the next person. And that's been of particular interest to me because it's the same thing in the in fitness culture and gym culture. You know, you try and lift more than your buddy. You try and build your biceps bigger than the next dude. Everything is always about trying to show up the next person. And it's like, it's hard for people to conceptualize that somebody else may have fabricated that, you know. And what I find more fascinating about this Edward Bernays story, that just keeps popping up everywhere, is that when back in the 1915 or the early 1900s, when you would hear an advertisement, that advertisement was just simply oriented around, okay, you buy this product because you need it. And then eventually it became, okay, there's a certain allure and a status behind you buying this. And then they evolved it into now you are an individual and you buy things and buy material things. You buy into concepts that feed into this need to feel like an individual. And ultimately, I deem this as being the biggest problem with humanity at this point, mainly because everybody is so gung-ho about wanting to be that next celebrity. Everybody is obsessed with wanting to be a celebrity. I find this within my within the circles of people that I've come across with. Everybody feels as though they need to become rich and famous, and they don't even really know why that that seed has been – they don't even understand that there's been a seed planted in their brain telling them, okay, I need to become rich and I need to become famous, without ever considering, you know, that, you know, there's consequences when it comes to fame. Like, even for the small amount of fame that I've gotten, and I'm pretty much still a nobody in on this planet, with the small amount of it, the amount of anxiety you get from, you know, people coming up to you on across the street or whatever, or people coming up to you, I'm not big on that. Even for the few times that it's happened to me, I'm not particularly liking of it. And I watched this video of Jim Carrey talking about how he had accomplished fame and how he wishes everybody could feel fame so then they could understand how it's actually like a horrible thing at a certain point, because now you don't have no privacy. But what do marketers tell you? What does everybody tell you? What do you see on TV? Well, you know what? You need to be acknowledged. And the problem is, again, these are just indoctrinated beliefs, and nobody ever taught anybody to question these things. I think there's certain aspects in human biology that makes them inclined to want to have the pursuit of status, but I don't think it should be it should be this strongly ingrained into people. I remember, like, a while back, I had done an interview with Jacques Fresco. It was maybe, I think, about 3 years ago. I went to out there in Florida, over in Venus, Florida, and I had asked him whether the need for external validation is an intrinsic attribute in human beings. And he said no, that it's not, that it's a learned trait. And he brought up an example of a baby crying, and then a parent coming to the baby when the baby has been crying. And essentially, that is how our culture is formed, is that we don't try and solve problems ahead of time. We wait till there's a problem there, and then we try and address it then. So it's, people only go to the baby when it's crying. So really, that's kind of the extension of our entire culture, that when you raise a child, what kind of behaviors are you already perpetuating in that child? And so we assume that, you know, like, I've made the assumption that, you know what, people are status driven, that they're, most people in general are status whores, but it's hard to determine how much of that status whoreitis is there, and as a human attribute, and how much of that is there because, you know, Edward Murdoch, or who the hell is it? Who's the guy that Rupert Murdoch put this into, you know, the television, and now you are, you know, eliciting these types of behaviors. But from what I'm finding from the people that stick around functional patterns, status whoreitis is a non-existing thing. I have it in at least in 30 to 40 people. I have people that are involved that are my full practitioners, the ones that I see as my full representatives as a human biomechanics specialist, and you don't see this behavior present in them at all. Even from the people that I have here in Seattle, they couldn't give a rat's ass about attaining fame or attaining anything like that. So
I gotta back you up on a few of those things, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know, you've been doing this for years, and you know, our mission at the Rampage is to find people like you. And it took us a year or so to even find you. And if these people were boasting, like I'm saying, about what they are, who they are, et cetera, then I would have found them in a week, you know? So, I mean, we had to really dig into, cause let's face it, that health type industry is so overcrowded and filled up and just, it's noise to try to get to some real stuff, you know? And so it took us a year to find you because I had to sift through all of this generic bullshit that's, you know, just on top of it all, you know? And, you know, you talked in the beginning about the indoctrination and living dreams and lives that we're not even sure. You even mentioned abs and the idea of fame. And, you know, I was talking the other day that I think I put in order that having power is the most powerful. Fame is actually second as powerful, and third would be money, because if you got fame, right, I referenced back in the day that fame from the audience could actually trump Caesar, whether he would go thumbs down or thumbs up, right? So, yep. I mean, fame plays that role, but then I think one of the additions to this that enhance this idea too is we've seen over the last probably 5 years or so in the personal development world and the mental health side, this emergence of the idea of purpose, the idea of finding purpose, et cetera. And this is one of the things that ticks me off is the idea of finding purpose, right? Because no one has yet to take on my challenge and debate to answer a question, just like you've posed many, many debates and challenges to the fitness, health, and et cetera industry, is prove to me that purpose isn't simply subjective. And so people make millions selling this idea to people that once you have a purpose, then you have a focus. And I get the idea, but it's irrational because there, no purpose light goes off, right? I don't give a speech one day and then all of a sudden it's like, that's it. Oh, I've hit the purpose mark. Okay, I must have found it. I mean, it's an emotional, subjective announcement in the moment that we then declare as fact. And so, these are indicators all across the board that are backing up everything that you're talking about, the indoctrination, not only behaviorally, mentally, but also in every other aspect on top of those things. And to back up another thing you said, man, about intrinsic motivation. I used to be a firm believer in the idea of intrinsic motivation. And since I've been writing this second book with Dr. Bobby Hoffman, pretty much the author, if you will, of motivation, they have basically, you can't prove an intrinsic motivation, that for the most part, we are extrinsically motivated to a point, whether it's to be healthy, whether it's to be strong, that this idea of cultivating an intrinsic motivation. I mean, I could link that with purpose, you know, by saying, look, do you go to work because you want to pay for your house? Do you go to work to feed your kids? Of course. Yes, yes, yes. Well, which one of those is your purpose? And if so, which one is your intrinsic motivation? Are you intrinsically going to work to help your kids, or is that an extrinsic motivation for the money? I mean, and I'll stop here just because, I mean, you dropped so much. You spoke to a reactionary society. Could you expand on the reactionary idea, which I firmly believe we are? Most of us as individuals even make choices reactionary, not based on our core principles, but we move on a reactionary basis. So could you speak to the state of the industries, because you represent not just fitness, not just health, not just even medical sides and biomechanics. I mean, a lot. Can you speak to the reactionary ways of those cultures?
I'll just pretty much throw out my experience in the fitness industry, and the main part of that experience being related to working with clients and customers who always have some kind of a, like, let's say if somebody has a wedding they have to go to, they're going to be a bridesmaid. Well, I got to get ready in 3 months, 4 months. If somebody's getting married, that's what it's going to be. If somebody is going to potentially meet an ex-girlfriend, I mean, I've had the most ridiculous things pop up as a trainer in regards to, you know, that people, this is the issue that I find that's most common with the humanity itself and how it extends into the fitness industry. It's reacting on your first impulse. That when I was, this is how I was raised, and I was very fortunate to have been raised this way. My parents were, they were migrant workers from Mexico. My dad was actually an illegal immigrant, and my mom was, she came in here legally. They're both obviously legal now, but they were migrant workers, and they worked in cherry orchards. And or all sorts of orchards. They did pruning. They did all the work that you could imagine. Some of the, you know, some definitely not the most sustainable work conditions that you could imagine dealing with. But eventually they saved their pennies. They started their own little businesses. And they now at this point, they own their own cherry orchards. And one thing that I got in terms of an experience that I can't, I can't say most people get an experience like this. Most people, you're lucky if you have one parent who's who's alpha, who understands how the world kind of works, how people can be a little bit self-serving, how people can be short-sighted. But I was lucky enough to have two parents that were very real. They were never trying to compete with the next person in terms of their material possessions and whatnot. So I had that for one. But then I actually got to see at a certain point they had made a decent amount of money on some business ventures that they had gotten into. And then rather than spending that money like idiots, what they did is they actually saved it up and then they started investing it in certain aspects of real estate. And then they used that land, the property that they bought, to plant their own orchards. And so for me, from about the age of, I think, what was it, maybe about 8 years old, maybe seven, eight years old, I got to see the birth of what it was to have an orchard, a plot of land. You take out everything that's there to then plant trees, which in turn we were planting cherry trees. You put sticks in what appeared to be these sticks in the ground. And then you see these two people, which were my parents, who were dealing with financial struggles after that because they had made this investment. And then for about 4 or 5 years, they had to wait until they got some fruit and they actually got some kind of a return. It didn't take about 10 years till they actually got a return on their investment. Not everybody gets an opportunity like that in life. Not everybody understands that, it takes time to build things. When I looked at my parents, I saw the prime example of people who were thinking over the course of the long term, who were not reacting on a first impulse. Now, when I started Functional Patterns, when I did it all I was trying to do was just give out free information and then hoping that, I would establish trust with the public. And I was doing that. People were like, man, you're giving out all this free info. That seems like a stupid idea, this and that. Well, for one, I wanted to help people. That was already, for one, there's a lot of really screwed up people. I thought for myself, when I first had my shoulder problems and issues with my posture and my forward head and everything and the pains that I had, I went on YouTube and there was nothing available. And I was like, man, that would have been nice if I would have had something there to give me some clarity on what I can do about my physical pain, because I had no money. I was dead broke. I didn't have any medical insurance. So I had to go off and figure this stuff out on my own. And I said, well, that seems like there would be a need here for people to do this. And I know not everybody can afford to pay for something. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put this out there and see if I can establish a following. And for the majority, the kind of mentality that I faced from my friends, from even family, from everybody around me, they'd be like, okay, yeah, so you're putting up all these videos. You're kind of gaining some subscribers to what you do. But how much money are you making? Like, what money are you making right now? And I'm like,
this gives is the definition, right? This is the American definition. And well, you got money, right? So you must be doing it right.
Absolutely. And so people are like, are you making money? So you're not making money. I'm like, no, I'm trying to establish a following. I'm building a foundation. That's what I'm doing. All I'm doing is just replicating the behaviors of my parents. I'm putting forth an investment for the future, an honest investment for the future. I think that frame of thinking is completely missed in our society because people haven't had that frame of reference. They haven't had that kind of a childhood experience. I've had to work my ass off in terms of doing manual labor. And there's a reason I don't value lifting heavy when you are on a farm, because if you're lifting heavy all day long, your back is going to blow out. Your body can't take that kind of pressure. So what do you use? You use tractors, four-wheelers, forklifts. You use different forms of technology to help you with this. So the thing is, when you grow up in a smaller town, when you grow up in an environment where you have to actually accomplish tasks, where competence is required, there's no room for showboating. So when you, let's say, have to, if you have to, let's say, pull out carpet in one area, install the carpet, put new siding in because my parents had like a property rentals as well. So when you got to do all this stuff, there's no room for showboating. You're either accomplishing a task or you're not. Now most of the people in our culture are living in cities and they have no fucking clue how things actually get built. They have no clue what it is to actually be competent in this world. So all they see everywhere is people just hyping things. And what percentage of the population is actually doing things? I believe it's 65 to 70% of people were involved in agriculture, I think, in the early or the mid 1800s. Now it's down to, I think, 3% of the population that's doing that. And what does that tell you? How many people are actually developing competent skills? How many people even understand what competence even is in the first place? Did they ever have these kind of examples? All people are seeing nowadays is the internet, computers just magically popping up on their faces. And since they can't go to the sweatshops in Asia and in India to see what's actually going on in this world, they assume that things are just magically popping up. And so what's the obsession based upon with what they're doing? Okay, I need to attain fame, but in order to nobody's ever thinking about, okay, I need to attain competence. I need to actually become a competent human being, and I need to make sure that my values are relevant. And going back to that whole notion that where you were talking about, you were touching on a very, very strong subject.
I have to point out, man, that look, just for people watching, because some people are going to try to put together, you know, how's a guy like you get to what you're doing? And I noticed two things right away. First, the parents, your parents broke indoctrination just by crossing a wall that's trying to be built, right? So hashtag fuck your wall. And they crossed, they said fuck indoctrination. They could see the long game. They worked for the long game and they taught you the long game. And then your own going against the indoctrination from the money, from building to the fame, et cetera, to actually really helping people by not giving away your first free video so you can lure them in then to charge them for the rest of your videos, but dumping out more competence, like you've said, for free than most people would even give in their release. And all that builds to me, man, is, you know, the big thing that people talk about a lot but rarely do, which is self-awareness. And the fact you could point out what you recognize with your parents and what you do, what you face, the reactionary, the indoctrinations, man, your self-awareness is through the fucking roof, man.
No, what I was going to refer to as that concept of purpose where, okay, you know, you give a person a purpose. This is one thing I think that we need to elaborate on. Are all purposes sustainable? If everybody on the planet wanted to become a millionaire or a billionaire, would that leave room for many people on this planet? People need to start understanding that for every millionaire and billionaire that exists, there's probably got to be 100 or 1,000 people living in the third world working for less than a dollar a day to, you know, help you sustain that delusion that you're living on a daily basis. So when I start thinking about all these Tony Robbins and all these people that are, you know, these motivational speakers telling you to pursue your dreams, I see all this crap with mantras by people who do yoga and whatnot. And I can't help but look at this saying, okay, you're saying, you know, pursue your passions and whatnot. But what if your passion is to bang every chick on this planet? Or what if your passion is to own this planet as a whole? What if your passions aren't even relevant to the sustainability of our natural resources on this planet and to the sustainability of the human race? I know that when you put it like that, it's kind of demoralizing for people because they're like, okay, well, what do I do now? Like, I can't pursue fame anymore because if I'm going to become sustainable, that doesn't really leave room for fame anymore. And I even start looking at like podcasts that are out there nowadays. It seems like they just ramble on upon a circle of bullshit that's tertiary. They only deal with problems as a tertiary system, but they may get to a certain degree where they're trying to get at the root cause of the problems going on with society. But they don't go that far. When I begin to see everything come around, right? When I begin to see the actual motives that seem to be present in most people in terms of what I see in this culture, it's inescapable that at one point or the other, money is going to be involved and is going to completely shape the way that they're going about what they do. So whether that's a yogi trying to preach out mantras, whether that's a Tony Robbins person, they're all trying to make money. And I think people don't begin to realize that most of their indoctrinations are built upon somebody who is trying to make money. And so they planted these seeds in their brain, once again, to try and manipulate them to become mindless drones who are just there to spend money. Our entire system is built upon money. And the problem is people don't understand. People aren't concerned with competence. That's really what it comes down to. If I'm a competent enough human being who understands that, you know what, I can go out in the wilderness and go eat a bunch of snails. I can go out there and eat a bunch of worms. I can eat insects. I can hunt my animals and whatnot. That's as good as money. Being competent is better than having money. So like I've had friends who were like, yeah, you know, I didn't come from a wealthy background and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, but your parents taught you this, 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 and this. Why are you complaining? They taught you all these skills to help you survive and thrive in this reality. Isn't that what you should be concerned with?
Oh, man, and look, a lot of research actually points to children that come from well-off families don't end up well-off, that they actually face different types of mental health disorders, really.
But, absolutely.
I mean, I'll extend a little further about why not just the bullshit and the idea of purpose, right? And I'm telling you, people are listening to this thinking they found their purpose. And again, you declared it and you made it so I get that. But the way it can hurt people, if when I imagine, for instance, you know, the millions of people we keep mentioning Tony reaches, and how many people it tells to find their purpose, how many of those millions really dream, like you said, to make millions, and also how many of those people go on to hunt for this purpose and in some real reality keep going, well, I just can't find it. I can't find the passion. And then later on, when they can't find their purpose, it pushes them so far over the edge because they're like, well, I can never find it, right? And that's when it begins to hurt people. You know, when you start to push it in a long term, sure, it sounds good up front, but one of my favorite lines is, it always sounds good, doesn't it? And so when it sounds go ahead.
I think what's fascinating to me is that people are egotistical enough to think that they even need to have a purpose. Isn't that kind of a something to ponder there? In a matter of 30, 40 years, robots are going to be smarter than human beings, and human labor is going to be phased out. What people don't understand is that our purposes and what drives us is oftentimes oriented around what we can make a living off of. So let's say if I want to become a painter, it's not just about being a painter in this world. It's about, okay, I'm going to become a painter and hopefully I can make money. That's most people's purposes have to be aligned with money. What's eventually going to happen when machines become better at creating than us? They become better at making things than us. What happens when machine automation takes over and then human beings are left to realize, okay, we're an obsolete organism. We are no longer relevant to the way that this world works. We think that we're smart. We think that they're smart people, but this robot is smarter than the smartest person by 1,000 times. At that point, I think humanity needs to start asking itself, why do I even need to have a purpose in the first place? For me, my only purpose is survival. My only purpose is homeostasis, which that's an extension of the survivalistic mechanism. How do I attain homeostasis in most circumstances? How do I not allow my physiology to become influenced in a, what you would call a negative fashion, by a certain environmental stimuli? That's the only question that I have in mind here. How do I balance myself? I don't think people even have that in their cognition at all. For myself, I look at when I adjust mechanical problems on a human body, when I start thinking, okay, I need to address how the serratus anterior connects to the obliques and then the potentially the internal oblique on the opposite side to the rhomboid major. Like, I'm looking at all these connections and I'm going, my God, look how much time it takes for me to have to learn all this. I don't think people understand that time is a huge is a very limiting construct to human learning and human potential. The fact that it takes time for us to figure things out, it significantly shows how obsolete we will become in the next 30, 40 years when you have a robot that doesn't have time as an obstruction to learning new things, where, you know, the robot just downloads new things. Right. And so I think it's like, let's say if you have a kid, this is another situation you could think of it on. You have a kid who wants to become a professional fighter, a professional football player, professional athlete, just like I was when I was younger, trying to chase the delusional fantasy that I need to do these things because I want to attain fame and I want to have chicks that are all over me and everything. Right. So you chase this delusion. What happens? There was a guy recently I saw on Facebook who put this extension on your foot. It's like a spring mechanism, and it helps you run as fast as Usain Bolt if you're an average runner. You can run as fast as Usain Bolt, and this thing just has a spring mechanism that propels you forward. Apparently, he's working on technology that will make you run up to 70 miles per hour with these same types of spring mechanisms, which is just a slight modification. What happens when people who have prosthetics can jump 20, 30 feet in the air after roboticists figure this shit out? Naudi Aguilar at Functional Patterns will be irrelevant. I will be irrelevant. I will no longer matter. What happens when these physicists figure out nanotechnology? They plant blood cell-sized microchips inside your bloodstream, and then they say, okay, we're just going to kill cancer here. We're going to plant a microchip inside your reptilian brain, and then we're going to say, okay, this is how we create a perfect movement. All we have to do is just figure out this person's femur length, tibia length, pelvic width. When we start talking about how big their rib cage is, we just look at that and be like, okay, relative to this person's biological attributes, this is going to be perfect movement in this related scenario. Now Functional Patterns is completely irrelevant. I am irrelevant. I am on the verge of becoming irrelevant, even though FP is light years ahead of any other training system. I don't care what anybody has to say because they've never actually given any proof. we are in the stage of being completely proven to be obsolete. We are on the verge of obsolescence as a species, and yet we're still holding on to this notion that we're supposed to be carrying some kind of a purpose in this reality. I think the only purpose that any human being should ever have with themselves is attaining homeostasis, finding physiological balance, finding a way to achieve immortality. That is the only purpose a human needs to think about accomplishing in this reality. Because once money gets transcended out of the equation, which it will, if you have robots that are replacing human labor and you have corporations that are saying, okay, we can spend a certain X amount of money on this person per year to help them, solve this problem for us or do this type of work, or we can hire this robot, in which we just have to pay a power bill for. It works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Who do you think the corporation is going to go for? Wendy's is already talking about automating its restaurants after this $15 an hour minimum wage is going to be instituted into the United States. So what is that telling you? Corporations are not going to spend money on people. They will spend money on robots. It's going to be much more applicable for a corporation in terms of profits. Then at that point, we have to ask ourselves through this whole cyclical consumption mechanism that we have going, that if we have a bunch of robots everywhere, which are supposed to be the employees, which are then effectively the consumers of our society, what happens when these robots take over and now there are no more consumers? The entire system crumbles. So this dependency that we have on money, this whole notion that we are supposed to align a purpose with this false society that we're living in right now is mind-boggling to me. I don't understand how somebody could carry such a huge ego to think that in some way, shape, or form they are even intelligent to the slightest degree. I see myself as being a bumbling idiot to the max, especially when we think of the potentials of having organisms, right, cybernated organisms that will be able to learn without the restriction of time being present, of you having to take time and develop patterns with your body and patterns with your brain. We are going to have organisms like this within the next 30, 40 years. So when I begin to think about people like Tony Robbins and whatnot, when they're peddling what they are, it's, man, we got to look to the future. In the next 30, 40 years, the reality that we see right now is going to probably look more like a psychedelic trip than it's actually going to look like in the way that we see it. It will probably not be a three-dimensional reality that we're living in by the time we approach that, because this reality will appear to be non-interesting. So for me, the fact that people are still so concerned about, okay, I need to make money and I need to have a purpose around making this money, is so negligible that I can't. It's hard for me to grasp. I just look around every day going like, my God, you guys don't know the damage you're doing to your physiology by carrying these useless fucking goals that take you nowhere other than this psychological. All they do is just re-ingrain this psychological trauma that these marketers have planted inside your brain.
And that is a cognitive rampage. You, for those of you that passed out from hearing any of that, or your friends that went into convulsions because it was too much, or that you had to flip back over to some FM channel or something. Listen, I mean, those are all serious thoughts. I mean, when you think about the advancement in growing just from skin cells, being able to regenerate muscles, cloning, look at all of these notions that where we've come to. And, you know, man, to keep building on how it is I see that you do what you do, you have a recognition of motives. And what I refer to in my book as intentions, right, is I say the most important form of communication is intentions, not the behavior, not even the tone, not even the nonverbal, right? Everybody's like, nonverbal, 75%. No, it's intentions. And when you know someone or something's intentions, then you can respond properly. And you know, you talk about things like looking toward the future. And so I'll stay on Tony Robbins, I guess. You know, he has a ploy he does when he feeds 1 million people on Thanksgiving, right? This is his thing. And he tries to add more and more and more to feed all these many people in this one day. Now, you and I know, as other people also listening know, that is that person going to starve next week? Are they going to, does it change their paradigm at all? And then, or does it sell more of your self, your books, your things? Is it more of a better marketing campaign? And does it, remember, it always sounds good. We fed 1 million people on Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're such a good guy. Oh, you're such a good person to do that, but you publicize it for everyone to see.
So what's the intentions and the motives? And I think what you do is you're able to sniff out those motives and intentions in people. And I'm going to connect it to another thing, man. I write in my book about one of the principles of change is the HC principle. Humility equals competence. You go off on this rampage that I fucking love. And then at the end of it, you say, well, I'm a babbling idiot more than anybody, right? So then you express the humility and people wonder why you're so fucking competent. Is questioning the self, though, right? Is most of us can't question the self, right? We're very quick. Some people can question the government, question politics, question the other side, question races, cultures, religions. I can question every fucking thing on the outside before I do the hardest fucking thing, which is, what do I believe? And why the fuck do I believe it? When you can start there, which is kind of where my book walks you through, is question there. You know what I mean? And it seemed like you started there long ago, man, back when you said, look, I got a lot of shit to learn because I can't afford it. Money came out of the picture. I mean, like for me, look, I went through some serious shit in my childhood. All right. But who hasn't, right? We all have that story. But for me, when I sought out to become a mental health counselor, sure, I could have went to therapy, paid for it. But I said, you know what? I got to know this shit myself. I'm tired of therapists telling me what I'm supposed to believe, what I'm supposed to think, how I do it. So I jumped in, you know, and then I learned their fucking game. And then I connected it to money. And that's why I opted out. So if you ever watch me fucking talk when I'm going off on Suboxone and even licensed therapy, all linked to insurance. It's not even affordable. It's insane, man. It's all to keep you as a client for the next, well, I think for the next 6 months, if we meet once a week for an hour, your insurance, that's the highest we can bill it. They don't say that part. But then maybe we could get to the bottom of it. Are you fucking...
Hey, what do you think about this, Adam? Isn't that kind of a form of welfare? And I've had many people, and of course, I'm going to probably go on a fairly cynical rant where many people have even... they probably listed me as being somewhat egotistical and that I can be apparently dishonest because I pretty much just call establishment oriented bullshit. And I also want to bring up the fact that of how many people I know avoid these types of podcasts where I'm going to explain myself, because I think people inherently understand that the system that's around us is kind of it's a farce what we're living in. And I wanted to touch on the fact that you're saying, when I think about physical therapists, physiotherapists, chiropractors, everything along those lines, you're dealing with the exact same thing. When I start telling people, okay, when I want to, this is the biggest problem that I face with functional patterns, that when people see functional patterns, they're like, I already know that. It's like saying, oh yeah, that guy does jujitsu. And then one day you decided to grapple. One day you decided to say, oh, I'm going to go take a jujitsu class. Let's say you learned it from a video on YouTube and you say, well, I do jujitsu too. At what level do you do the jujitsu? You see what I'm saying? So I've had to deal with a lot of that. But furthermore than that, what functional patterns is a way to stop the compensation patterns. When I tell somebody whose pelvis is going wop, 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 wop all over the place and the rib cage is going all over, you get this empty thoracic rotation, this empty hip extension that is pretty much non-existent. It's more of an abduction thing going on with their legs. You see this flimsy structure, and then you look at how physiotherapists, physical therapists, personal trainers, chiropractors, pretty much everyone across the board, people doing yoga, try and resolve these dysfunctions, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And pretty much what I'm trying to do is establish a form of training that eliminates you from being dependent on these people all day long, or pretty much the rest of your life, where it's like, okay, I'm in pain. Oh, well, fortunately, in 3 days, I'm going to go see my chiro. They're going to make a chiropractic manipulation. This will probably make me feel better for maybe 2-3 more days until the problem comes back. They're like another pill. Is it a healthier pill? Absolutely. It's better than popping some fucking Vicodin or whatever the pain medication is that's out there. It's better than popping pain pills, of course. But if there's an option to stop the compensation altogether, then why not give people that? Oh, because now people don't need money anymore. If the functional patterns methodology evolves to its fullest capability, within a matter of 2 months, we will be able to completely reestablish connections in the body that will facilitate a change that will probably make you never need a functional patterns practitioner anymore. Because if we rewire your subconscious brain and we rewire the entire way that your body globally, structurally reintegrates to environmental stimuli, to any emotional, psychological structures, or stressors or anything along those lines that require movement, in that regard, you will never have to worry about injuries ever again, because your body is going to become perfectly in tune with adapting to the natural world. Now, so that means now I will make myself
happen. This can't happen, because if you do that, the whole fucking world goes out of business. I mean, right. I mean, think of course, how much is built
of
on
course,
our,
but,
our reactionary medicine, right? We have reactionary medicine, reactional mental health, reactionary fitness, reactionary. Dude, that's a business is based on reactionary, right? You find a weakness in the market and you stitch it up. I mean, that's everything's built reactionary, brother. If you But I love it because you're humble enough to admit, like you did, that, hey, I know I'm obsolete already. So I might as well just teach everything and give it away, because eventually, if this works, you're even trying to perfect your own thing that makes you obsolete.
Yeah, I was watching a podcast recently. I think it was on the Joe Rogan Experience, and they were talking about like materialism being a natural cycle of humanity, and that people are driven to want to own things and whatnot. And I was like, I look at where I'm at right now, and I'm not living like fat. I'm not living like lavish or anything, but I make a decent amount of money. I make pretty good money now with what I do, and the company's growing, and it's indicative that this company's going to become pretty large from what I'm seeing at this point. So with that said, we went to the mall, I think yesterday or the day before yesterday. I was walking through the mall just going like, I don't want anything here. What's there to want? I don't feel like as though I need to prove myself to any of these people. Who gives a shit? I played basketball yesterday. That's what I did yesterday. And you see all these has-been basketball players who had all these hoop dreams taking out all their frustrations on this fucking street ball court. And you're just like, I used to be one of these people. Like, my God. What I'm learning as I progress through my life and I begin to learn more about myself is the eliminating the process of needing things, right? Rather than feeding emotional voids, is how do I actually fulfill myself with things that are actually going to help me survive in this world and, you know, give me actual fulfillment. And I think that's entirely missing in society. This whole notion that we need things, that we need to own crap. I don't need anything else. I got this computer here. If I want to be entertained, I have a computer and I have access to the internet. I could be entertained all day long. But that's outside the point. That's entertainment. If I want to heal, I can just go to a damn forest. I think once you travel down the functional patterns route long enough, you begin to realize the uselessness of needing things. And of course, my facility is fairly high tech. I got some tools that are in there that are for you know, helping you optimize your brain function, optimizing your fascial systems and whatnot. But all that's there, all those tools are there to teach you that you don't need anything. So as the further I go along this path of, you know, I just want homeostasis, I just want physiological balance, I don't care about anything else, it leaves you in a point where you have to remain humble, because you're like, well, what's the purpose of anything? What's the fucking point of anything on this planet? And as I look more at these podcasts that are out there, as I look at more of what's going on with our culture itself, it just reverts back to the fact that nobody had parents to ground them. Since their parents were probably raised in the city and they're raised in the city, they just assume that things magically appear.
Well, you're talking about trauma. Talking about trauma. That's a form of trauma. Dr. Gabor Monty says this. I mean, he's the spokesperson on addiction research, period. Dr. Gabor, look him up. I mean, he talks about it being trauma. So when you mention, you know, parentless or half-assed parents, too young parents, addicted parents, obsessed with indoctrination parents, I mean, this all, you're right, man. You're talking trauma.
Well, it's not even, I think even the term of competence is a conditioned trait as well. Because me building functional patterns, I've had multiple people come in and out of it. I mean, this is what happens with any corporate executive of any major corporation, anybody who's developing a business. You bring people in, you think they have an intention, and then you realize that intention was not so... It's not as passionate as the intention that you had to begin with, or it may not be the same intention. And so therefore you part ways. And, damn, I lost my train of thought. What was I going to extend this into?
I'll back it up because I had a few things to notice about you. Cause you'll see it, people, as you're watching. What I'm really trying to do here is put together basically the life philosophies of Naudi Aguilar at the end. So, you know, I know
a lot to think about.
No, man, I've got it all down about 8 pages so far. So, no, I mean, I never hear you reference or use the term "that's who I am," is as if you know that the self competence can add to it, right? That you're not stationary, you're not concrete, or you're also not the stuff. You know, I posted the other day, I'm new to this minimalist lifestyle, and I cleaned out, man, everything, dude. All these things that I call keepsakes that I kept for years, old baseballs from kid stuff. Dude, it was hard. I did not realize it was hard to throw away DVDs for real. Just being, you know, but the more I felt this weirdness of like attached to it, the more I was like, it has to fucking go. I'm like, I mean, if the memory is so good, Well, I mean, wouldn't you want to keep it? Imagine if you had to live something for the moment and you knew you couldn't capture it. I mean, would you be in it more, you know? And if it's that important, why do I need a ticket stub to fucking remind me? I'm too busy trying to capture the moment that I don't live in the moment, you know? And you seem to...
So the problem is that people are trying to capture the moment so then they can show it to somebody else.
Bam.
That's all they really... That's really what our culture is built upon. Let me capture this moment so I can hopefully show it off to somebody else at some point in the future. And how many people are actually really enjoying their lives? And how many people are just trying to put on a spectacle? And it goes reverse back. This is what I was going to discuss. That I've had multiple people come into FP. And I was living out in San Diego for quite some time. And what I kept finding over and over again with being in a big city, dealing with people who have only lived in a big city, is that most of them never had to display real competence. So everything with them was about, oh, I need to network. I need to do more networking, networking, networking. And I happened to be one of the networks they needed to make to use me as a stepping stone to apparently get to some pinnacle that they wanted to get to. But they never really gave a shit about actually just being competent with what they do. So when I look at everything that goes on with our culture, it's simply just an extension of people who didn't have parents that grounded them, parents that didn't remind them, like, look, Let me go take you off to Mexico, and then we're gonna once we drive by Nogales, I think, which is in Arizona. Once we drive over the border, you'll get to see what poverty looks like. You get to see disorder. You get to see shit everywhere, and you know you should feel bad about that, son. You should feel guilty about that because you were born into having at least an opportunity to do something with your life. Well, all these other kids don't get that, and this doesn't mean that I'm gonna be some fucking pro-American supporter, because I don't buy into nations or any of that crap either, because that's a very quick way for somebody to be like, oh, well, now I'm going to feed into my American nationalistic identity while the American nationalistic identity exploits third world countries. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I was, as a human organism at some point, I was given this opportunity to make these adjustments. And from what I find with people around, if there's anybody who's watching this podcast who was raised in a city, I invite you to try and learn to become competent in something. I'd say, like, if you took part in something like jiu-jitsu or something and you got your ass whooped, I think that would be something that would probably help you in regards to when you get humbled, when you get a taste of that humble pie and you actually have to test yourself in what you do, that's ultimately what's going to carve your character and make you somebody that's worth following. But even beyond that, if people do things just for the sole purpose of wanting to be followed without actually really trying to understand the mechanism of why they need to be followed in the first place, they kind of just do it, but they don't think about it. And this just goes right back to the indoctrinated beliefs. When this podcast is over, what I want people to extract from this podcast specifically of what I'm saying right now is that attaining real competence and actually being good at what you do and being a reputable human being, it requires humility. It requires an acceptance that at some point or the other, you are going to be transcended. You are going to be useless as a human being, and a robot is going to take over who you are, and it's going to make you completely useless. So this purpose that you hold on to needs to become relinquished. It needs to be eliminated. Otherwise, it's going to be a very rough robot. By the time we get to that time, and you're going to end up wanting to kill yourself because you realize you're useless. Since I've been willing to accept this now, I know I will probably be more inclined to prepare myself for that reality when it does come near. Once that reality comes present, I'll be like, okay, microchip, planted inside me. Who cares about the postural crap that I've been teaching? Who cares about the biomechanical attributes I've been trying to put forth on people? It's irrelevant. Why? Because it doesn't work. I mean, it works to a very limited extent, but if I can undo a person's deficiencies in 10 seconds opposed to let me put it this way. Your bones morph to your movement. Your bones morph to the trauma that you have felt in your entire life. If a robot could somehow manage to change your bone structure based upon a physiological capability that I don't know about, if it can manage to change not only your neuromuscular structure and your bone structures, I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, I need to make money. I'm going to say, well, I don't really need money. All I really need is homeostasis. So give me the goods. If I go broke, who gives a shit? At least I'm going to stay alive because I'm intaking this relevant information. And this is one problem that's inhibiting people now. People only think, I'm only going to take in this information because it's going to make me money, because it's going to give me money with this purpose of with this thought process of feeling that my purpose is making money through some kind of a profession. That's how it is everywhere. No matter where you're around, no matter what you see, it's never about, okay, I'm going to intake this information because it's going to benefit my health and help me live longer. I know so many people who have their own podcasts who know I exist. I know pro athletes. I know people who purposely, celebrities who purposely avoid me because they say, well, you know what? I own this corporation. I own this company. And if Functional Patterns as an entity makes my company irrelevant, then I don't make money anymore. Even though I already have millions of dollars, even though I can already live off of what I have right now, I still don't want to take into this Functional Patterns concept because as a mechanism of more of efficiency, Functional Patterns trumps any other training system that's out there. And this guy's willing to test it scientifically, but I'm not going to do that because if we do go down that rabbit hole, then guess what happens? He's going to be proven right and I lose all my money. But in the same token, what else do you lose? You lose physiological balance. You lose biomechanical balance.
You lose helping people, right? We talked about the disguise.
Or helping yourself.
Well, even
yourself.
Well, people, you know, they come into this, right? They're, well, I'm out. My passion in life is helping people, et cetera. And say they do find, like you said, what you do. And if that can make what they do obsolete, well, then they can't share it and they can't help you out. But I thought your motives and intentions were to help people. Even if, are you really willing to help people to even make yourself obsolete by sharing? You know what I mean?
I don't think that intention has ever really been, has really ever existed before. I think you find very few cases of that, like an Elon Musk from Tesla. I think you can clearly see his intentions are that he wants to make the society obsolete and that he wants to put sustainability. I think it's such a rarity to find people that actually have this intention in the first place. It's a non-existent, but people don't realize that even by make, if you have 1 trillion, billion, gazillion dollars in the bank, relative to the state of medicine right now, if you're given, if you have terminal cancer, with all those trillions of dollars, you're not going to survive. You're not going to attain immortality in this, at this stage in the game anyway. So you stand to gain nothing. So if you try avoiding Functional Patterns, saying, well, you know what, it's going to damage my business, you idiot. It's damaging your physiology by not taking Functional Patterns on. You're killing yourself. Forget about helping society. Forget about everybody else. Fuck everybody else. Think about yourself. Are you helping yourself? The reason I don't care about helping anybody. I don't give a fuck about anybody else. You know who I care about? Who do I care about? Me. Because I know if I go out into that water into the Puget Sound here in Washington State, I go out into some murky fucking waters with a bunch of oil inside of it where there's pollution there. When I want to go do a polar plunge, I'm like, it's not so much the cold I'm afraid of anymore. It's more the contaminants that are inside that water that don't enable me to go into nature, into water, because it is polluted. I want to have that available. If I go to Pioneer Square or some other areas that are a little more ghetto here in Seattle, I can't go there. Why? Because there are people who are impoverished that have taught to never develop their prefrontal cortex to a degree that, you know, if I commit a crime, there may be consequences for that. So who gives a shit? I'm going to go rob Naughty. I have to avoid certain parts of the world because human beings have made it uninhabitable. This is about me. This has nothing to do with anybody else. I don't care about helping other people. Naughty is selfish. Naughty is working on himself. Naughty is trying to fix society for him. I think we all have an image of which we are simply just trying to manipulate everyone around us to create a world that's better for ourselves individually. Ooh. But the question that we need to ask ourselves is, my individualistic ambition to make something for myself better extending to other people? If I have no ambitions to wanting to buy a bunch of useless shit and I'm willing to share what I have because I realize I can't own anything anyway, then how we have to ask ourselves, is that a sustainable ambition for the whole of humanity? I would deem it to be the case. But I'm not going to sit here like a hypocrite and be like, oh, I just feel great helping other people. Yeah, you feel great helping other people. But really what makes me feel great is that I'm solving problems to a degree that I can create a better world for myself selfishly. Or I can breathe in air, high quality air in Southern California where it's fucking polluted like crazy. Or in Mexico City. Or if I go to Hong Kong, I can breathe in high quality air no matter where I go. I don't have to worry about being mugged everywhere I go. Now, if you're a person and you hear like, man, now he's being selfish. But you know what? That selfishness seems kind of nice. That does seem nice. I would like to go to any neighborhood on the planet and not get mugged. I'd like to know that there's a crime-free reality that we're living in. That selfishness kind of seems to make sense. There appears to be a universal truth here that can't really be, you know, trumped. This makes sense. So I don't do anything to help anybody else. I don't give a fuck about other people. I could give two shits about what other people think. I'm thinking about me. I want a reality that doesn't set off my stress response every other fucking minute because I hear some guy in this excessively loud motorcycle giving me noise pollution going, like, I don't want to have to deal with that. And why is he driving in that motorcycle that way? He's driving in that motorcycle that way because his father and his mother probably never paid attention to him. So he feels, well, I need to make other people pay attention to me. I don't want to live with people like that. I don't want to live with people who are telling me, well, you know what? I'm only going to talk to you relative to where your social status is right now. I can't talk to you because you may seem like an interesting person. I can only talk to you in relation to how much money you have or how many followers you have. I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want to live in a world where if I decide to have a children at some point, which at this point I don't want to have children, I don't want to have to live in a world where that guy might molest you. You know, there's child molesters in this world. Just stay away from people because there's child molesters. Or you might get abducted, son. And stay away from those people because they might. Do you really want to raise a kid in this kind of world? Do you really want to live in a world like this for yourself? That's the question people need to ask themselves with their motives in life. I don't do things for other people. I do things for me. Fuck everybody else. I don't care about other people. I care about me, and I want a world that's better for me. But the difference, there's a silver lining here in the sense that that world would probably be a good world for everybody else. There'd probably be more homeostatic people on the planet. There'd probably be more people doing shit that they really want to do and not try and, you know, just show off for everybody else. There'd probably be more genuine behaviors on this planet rather than behaviors that are oriented around a sexual insecurity or a small penis complex, right? That's what I'm trying to eliminate in our culture, not for everybody else. And I will put that forth. I'm not trying to be Mr. Fucking Hero here because I don't care. I want to eliminate idiocy from my existence. I don't want morons around me. I don't want stupidity around me, for my sanity, for my stress response. I don't want to eat genetically modified organisms because society is too lazy to want to, you know, develop better farming systems, better agricultural systems. I don't want to breathe in shitty air. I want trees to be around everywhere. I want oxygen, damn it. That's what I want. These are the things that I want. If that appears to be something for you, if you're the listener on this podcast, if this is the kind of world that sounds relevant to you, you got to start relinquishing yourself from needing these unsustainable purposes. You got to stop. You got to let go of this bullshit that I'm here to help other people. You're here to help yourself. That's what every human being is here to do on this planet, is to help themselves. Now, how do you help yourself and help other people? By just having relevant values. We're living on a planet with finite resources, and we're exhausting them faster than the rate that we can renew these resources. At what point are we going to ask ourselves, you know, when does that apply to me and my daily behaviors? Now, do I go out and go, you know, help charity and go feed the homeless and all? That doesn't do anything. All you can do is feed relevant information. All you can do is study technology, study the state of which the industry is operating in right now, develop technical skills that override the bullshit that we're living in. If you want a purpose, there's your fucking purpose. Find a way to eliminate the corporatocracy that we are living in. And you don't do that by protest. You do that through technological innovation. White people did not allow black people to become non-slaves. Technology evolved to a certain point that forced them to say, well, you know what? Is slavery really an optimal way of, you know, of conducting business anymore? Technological innovation is what pushes things forth. So if you want a purpose, if you want a purpose in this world, guys, one that's going to be solid, the one that's going to give you self-satisfaction, it's one that makes the system that we're living in right now obsolete. Functional patterns is one of these systems that's going to do that as a mechanism of efficiency. We are efficient. We're doing the things that we are doing all across the world. We have hundreds of people certified through functional patterns that are now physical therapists employing what we do, and they are seeing ridiculous benefits, and they are having to abandon the old practices. It's not just me anymore that's doing this. So if you wish to try and make a more sane world for yourself, you have to start thinking about, okay, what is a sane world? What do I want in life? Do I really want that nice car? Do I really want those clothes? Do I really want those gigantic pecs? Or is it the marketing guru that planted that seed in my brain before I could culminate a memory that did that for me? Where did I really get these values from? And if people can do that, then you can have a better world. you have a better world, not just for everybody else, fuck everybody else, but for yourself, because at the end of the day, we're all self-serving. That's another thing I want to lay down. I am not a fucking hero. I'm not doing this selflessly. I do this selfishly. I do everything I do selfishly because I want a better world for me. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. It's all about Naughty. I don't care about anybody else. It's all about me. I'm selfishly wanting cleaner air and cleaner water. I want water to drink everywhere. I don't want to have to drink water out of a plastic bottle that's dumping contaminants into the water bottle that has I don't want contaminants in a plastic bottle of water. I want water coming from a fucking faucet, and I want it to be high quality water. That's what I want. I want high quality, nutrient dense food. That's what I want. I just want a stable environment, selfishly.
It's the honesty that which you go about it that rocks the human soul. Because, I mean, for the most part, our parents are along the line, or society teaches you not to lie, et cetera, right? So we shade those things, man. And for you to live that rampage like you really do, like you just spit out there, it may hit people at home, right, that are going, but I do like to help people, et cetera. But, I mean, I ask you to first visit the science and research behind the existence of actual intrinsic versus extrinsic motivation. And everything now that he's talking about are selfish wants.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
How many people do charity work and then never tell anybody else about it?
Shit, man. If you donate enough money, they'll put your name on the fucking building, baby.
No, what I'm saying is if you do charity work, how often do you just do that so you can put it on a fucking resume?
Or even just chalk how it up many, inside your own many, head.
But it's like, even if you're trying to make the world supposedly a better place, how many times do you just do these things so you can brag about it to somebody else? You take pictures on Facebook helping people.
Yeah, the videos, all that stuff. I mean, you see it coming to that route, man. But the honesty of which you lay this down, I want to connect it for the last couple minutes here before we close down, because you've been rampaging, brother, murdering it. I'm loving, man. I'm caught up in it.
Thank you, but sir.
That honesty and rawness that which you're not afraid to say, you know, yes, I want that for me. And that's the idea of self-competence. And a lot of people avoid the self-competence, is why a lot of people aren't self-aware. I mean, if you can't be honest with yourself, right? You know what, dude? I'm not going to sit here and lie that I don't do what I do for myself, too. It helps me out, makes me feel good. And maybe if we can get out there, there'll be some mental health help for people that actually helps, you know, that doesn't keep the indoctrination going. So if it helps you, then you believe in not taking pills and it's hurting your family, then fuck yeah, do that, jump in. But, you know, man, I think I myself was going to try to be a little bit more adamant even about, you know, that idea that, you know, if the values and morals are set that help humanity as a whole, I love that notion. We talked on the phone a while ago and you brought up that idea that, you know, I wish I could go to this place in Brazil, but I can't. I can't because I'll get hurt. I mean, you know, you're right. I don't want my daughter to be in a place like this to where I got to say, don't talk to the stranger. Don't walk over there. Don't, you know, we can't shit, man. I mean, if we all could be more honest that way.
But how much easier is it for you to just go do some, charity work, right? That doesn't do shit. You're done for that day. You go out, you go feed some homeless people, you come back home, you're done. Now your job is done. Now you've emotionally satisfied yourself. Tick. Oh, it's done. Now I can go back to my same bullshit lifestyle that isn't really doing anything. You want to know something that is difficult to do? It's to make this a daily occurrence. Every single day trying to change people's values in a way that as a mechanism in a mechanistic fashion eliminates the conditions that create poverty, that create most crime, that create most violence. What do you do to try and eliminate the root conditions creating these problems?
Well, that's the question. Can I turn around that? I'm going to turn around that question too, because I want to, you know, close a little bit about the future of functional patterns in the next 6 months to a year. And, tell me that question, right? What are you searching for as those root patterns, right? That question you just posed, I would like to pose that to functional patterns.
Well, psychology is a son of a bitch. If somebody tells you, you know, doing deadlifts and Olympic lifting is effective, they're like, well, you know what? It makes me feel like I run faster. I just feel better doing this. That's irrelevant. Unless your cortisol is modified in terms of how it's distributed through your body in given situations, unless you can measure that, unless you can measure your adrenaline, your serotonin, unless you can measure your oxytocin, you can't really know whether what you're doing is is working or not. That feeling could just be a fucking delusion. That's the question that comes down to. My perception is, how do we know whether you're being delusional or not by what you're employing in your training practice or in your dietary practice, whatever that may be? My mission in the next 6 months to a year, really in the next 10 years, is really what it is, because I have a long-term goal. I don't think in the term of, oh, it's a year. It's really the next 10 years. Once the scientific research is out, which is what I'm trying to do, my goal is to try and eliminate subjectivity from science in the field of training and in the field of human health, because it's completely subjective. You can say that, let's say sugar is the molecule that makes people unhealthy, but how do you know it's the sugar and not the stressors and the integration of the polyunsaturated fats that you're consuming in conjunction with the sugar that are killing you, that are feeding the parasite inside your body? You can't really know. That's the truth of it. You have to fucking test it. And really what I'm working on right now is a set of tests. We've already established them. The curriculum's already established. I've already sent it around to my people in terms of what they need to do. And we are establishing this curriculum. There's going to be some issues that go on with the body that I know nobody else knows how to address, because they don't even know it exists. They kind of look at it and they're like, I'm not even going to take a look at it because it's so overwhelmingly difficult. If muscles can pull you vertically as well as move you this way, and most of the time they're pulling you this way, there is no way that you can get yourself out of some of these dysfunctional patterns that are happening in people's bodies when they are going through dynamic movements. So what I'm working on right now is establishing a standard. Just like engineers have a standard when it comes to making buildings, I need to establish a standard when it comes to human biomechanics. We are in the process of codifying this. We already have the video there. We already have hard drives filled with this research in terms of these behaviors that people are eliciting. Then my eventual goal is to be able to resolve these issues. Once I resolve these issues, at that point, it's when the establishment is going to have to acknowledge what I'm saying. They're going to have to sit there and say, damn it, he's been theorizing this for quite some time. In regards to static stretching, for all these things, rotation, he's been discussing this for quite some time, and we have literally avoided him, just like the political establishment avoided Bernie Sanders the last 20 years. We are going to have to acknowledge what he is actually saying, because I'm going to make it evident. I'm not going to put some stupid piece of paper, oh, there was a whole journal of scientific research between a political hegemony of scientists who stand to gain the same thing, and they all confirm that this type of exercise is good for me. No, it's not going to be that. We're going to put it on video. I'm going to say, hey, look, do you see the geometric angles of this pelvis just snapping back and forth? Do you see this EMG scanner showing the muscle activity in this person's lumbar spine, and then how it transferred over to the glute max and to the obliques after we made the adjustments through functional patterns? Now you see how I instituted the techniques that people use traditionally and how this got worse. That's what's going to happen. But again, guys, if you want, I could sit here and go give charity to everybody. I could go be charitable with my time, go to Africa and feed the starving and whatnot, which would be a decent thing to do. But, and you know what? There's some people that do go out there and they do it on a daily basis, nothing against them at all. But unless we force the establishments to change what they're doing, nothing's going to get better as we look at things around us. There is a political hegemony of people making money, and they want to continue to make money. And if we enable them to continue to make money, this entire structure falls apart.
You're talking about stop treating symptoms, stop putting band-aids and band-aids over something else. And what you have done over the last, decade or so into your research is remove the whole fucking thing, dug into the roots of it, including self, your own biases, your own research. I mean, and so the prediction in the next, what we'll call it a year or two is what?
My prediction is that we will finally codify human biomechanics within the next 6 months to a year. That's my prediction. It may take a little bit longer because shit is complicated, but what my prediction is to modify the way people run and put and document the progress that people make in terms of their pain with the modification of their movement, which has been known to be impossible at this given point, that there is no relation between posture and movement. I want to put information together, data together. We've already been doing it. We're already showing it online. I've already shown hundreds of examples online of people doing this. I don't even need to do this anymore. I just need to put it in more of a, we are working on doing it right now. We got people in Germany and New Zealand, Australia. We have people all over the place right now in Europe. who are getting ready to codify this, we're already putting the information together and showing people, like, look, there is a standard that we need to follow when it comes to training. And if we don't, we're going to create a whole slew of problems with people's bodies. And here it is, in an objective manner, this is how it's going to be addressed. But the main objective that I have here is to take away this entire medical establishment that's operating as if it was on welfare, right? They work for when they're in school, they work when they're in universities, but after they get on a university program, all they do is they follow these established curriculums without ever thinking, you know, is this actually going to solve somebody's problems? If I'm a physical therapist and this person comes to me with a knee problem, am I just going to mask the problem around their knee and then tell them, well, you can never run again, you just have to accept that you're going to get old? Or am I going to solve the entire global structure and said, not only are you going to run again, you're going to run faster than when you actually first met me? That's the functional patterns goal. How do we exceed the potential that you were at the day that you came to me, whether you were in pain, not in pain, whatever that may be? How do I make you run faster in a more sustainable fashion and help you live longer, instead of just saying, okay, now you're going to take part in the little exercise that we do, and then you're going to get old and die, and hopefully your joints hold together better. Just don't move your knee joint too far, because if you move your knee joint too far, now you're going to end up re-tearing the ligaments in there, and now we're going to be back to square one. So don't move as much as what you did. Whereas through functional patterns, what I'm here to prove is that the expectations that health professionals have been putting on movement specialists and on themselves has been very, very low. We can aim way higher than what we're operating at right now, that we can get people to move in a much more effective fashion. They can live a much healthier life, a much better life, if they just understand the variables they need to attack. When it comes to their body, they need to be able to see what's capable, what's possible. And functional patterns is not here to show them what's possible in some stupid backflip that has no application to an average person. It has application to people who need to walk, who need to run, who want to move, who want to go out for a hike and enjoy a breath of fresh air, who are in their 40s and 50s are like, yeah, I don't go hiking anymore because my body, it hurts. My joints hurt every time I go for a hike, and now I have to stop doing that. And now I'm reserved to sitting in front of a television and just watching TV and then just having these limitations crammed in my freaking face every day until the rest of my life. That's what I want to eliminate in our culture. I want to open up the doors of perception to where somebody's 50, 60, 70 years old. They're like, I really can't do it. I would love to go back out in nature and behave like if I was young once again, but I can't because my body won't allow that. Functional patterns is for those types of people. That's who it has to be for, this type of people, because a lot of the times the younger people that exist, the necessities have been taken away from you in life, you can't really appreciate what's going on. So most of the people that come to FP are people who have been hurt by the system, who are not able to become fixed by the system, and they rely upon us to do essentially the impossible to resolve these issues. My goal, my prediction in the future is to eliminate this condition. My prediction is that we functional patterns will eliminate this condition of people thinking that the limitations around us are true, when they are not true. There is more that the body can do, and it relates nothing to the backflips. I don't give a shit about that. It relates to being able to function, go on hikes, breathe better, have more balanced hormones, and have better stress reactions to the environment that we are inhabiting right now, and that you can do this without having to cue anything in terms of cognitive reassociation, other than just saying, you know what, I want to be competent as myself, I want to become better as an individual. That's the predictions that I'm going to be making those are the predictions I will be making in the future for right now. This is what I'm predicting for the future. And I anticipate that in the next year, 2-3 years, this is going to be known. Once people begin to see the results that we are putting forth and we lay it out all out, that's where people are going to have to say, okay, we have been avoiding this guy, and now we can no longer avoid this guy. And this is when the institutions that run the society will have to fold at some point or the other.
And it circles back to where we started, which was the concrete beliefs, right? Is the concrete belief that you know it, or the system has it, or what you've always been doing and what you've taught that always has worked is the way it works. And for me, man, I broke out of what I used to do. I was cultivated into the football world of lifting weights. That's what I did my whole life. And I just said, I guess you just walk around sore a lot. Your joints just hurt, and that's just life, right? That's what they tell the football player. Deal with it, right? You're just in a constant 5 or 6 of pain, and maybe some days there are 3. And I was 245 pounds, a swole up dude, man. Just, And then I ran across some functional patterns guy, this one dude named Naudi, and way before my podcast got to where it's at today, and employed some of those things. And I'm 170 pounds. I have no lower back pain. My IBS is gone. I get no fucking headaches. My psoriasis left. I mean, this was like, it's nuts, man. And I did that in 2 months. And it employed just different things, man, that fit differently to my biostructure and how I was biomechanically put together. And it changed everything. There's no one way to do a fucking squat. It's the individual way, much less should he even be doing them. And, oh, my God.
Well, no, there's something else that goes along with that. There is, for the most part, one way to do a squat. But we'll save that for another podcast. So, no,
You took it.
Not that one, Adam. And we're going to discuss that on the future one. We will discuss the squat on our next podcast. That'll be a good one because people are obsessed. For one, people are obsessed with the squat, and I'm gonna cut that damn exercise down, bro, because it doesn't. That's not as relevant of an exercise as one would think there is. So,
I'm glad, brother. I put that pawn out there. I was like, watch him. You know when you hang the blood up and you're waiting on that great white to jump up. I'm like, watch this shit. Squat.
Anyway, like I said, I'll look forward to coming back, and like I said, I'm sure we'll have plenty to discuss. But again, guys, we need to shatter indoctrinations. We need to shatter what the system has planted into us, not feed into that anymore. And that's until we do that, we are doomed as a species. We need to understand that the way that we've been taught things, it was never rooted from an objective standpoint. It was never tested. None of the tests. If it was tested, it was tested by very greedy people who wanted to maintain positions of political advantage and monetary advantage. And that's why most of what exists today is fraudulent. And until people can realize that, we are not going to get any better. But fortunately, a lot of people are starting to realize this, and things are going to start changing here very soon, fortunately.
Brother, man, thank you, man. I look forward to talking like we do continuously, man, and seeing you on the podcast back. You know how it works. The Rampage is also the F&P family page, the way I see it, man. So thank you for sharing your competence here, man, against all odds, man.
And thank you, bro. Like I said, there's a reason I came back to this one. I've had a lot of people come to me saying they wanted to do a podcast and whatnot, and some fairly well-known ones. And again, I generally just tend to be more hesitant towards going to other ones just simply because I don't really think they understand fully what I'm trying to do. And so, since you could seem to come from more the perception of trying to understand people and trying to figure out their mechanisms, it's fundamentally why I keep coming back here. And this is why I'll probably keep coming back over here, because you seem to want to have you're trying to solve problems, not mask symptoms, which I think is the biggest problem that people have in our culture. They're not willing to overcome these things. So I'll be back soon.
Thank you, man. Selfishly, that's exactly what the fuck I'm trying to do, man.
Awesome. Well, I love it, bro.
Hey, man, and I love you, man. Thanks for coming on again, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one, man.
You too.